Because I wanted to start this off a little different today. In fact, y'all are graduating from high school, right? And, no, you can sit. Yeah, why don't y'all sit? Yeah, that'll be good. Because I thought we might start with a little bit of a quiz. I didn't tell y'all that, did I? You know, just to see how good your memory is from confirmation. Is that okay? No. No. I just wanted you up front here so that part of my message is going to be really addressed to y'all today. Y'all can listen in and make your application as you hear, but let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and Lord, what an awesome opportunity it is to be here in your presence today. And Lord, as we celebrate the accomplishments of our high school seniors, Lord, we ask that you would continue to watch over them, strengthen them in their faith, and Lord, be with them as they open this a new chapter in their life. Lord, we ask that you would help us to focus on your word. Lord, block out a few distractions that might be racing through our minds right now so that we can sit at your feet and listen to what you have to say. And Lord, that we can apply that to our lives as we live them in this world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I really didn't mean to upset you too much, but what I want you to do, and especially, I mean, everyone here this morning, I do this every now and then, but I want you to try to imagine something for just a little bit here. I want you to try to imagine that you were one of the disciples. And really one of the closest disciples, maybe one like Peter, James, or John, you know, one of those that's mentioned quite a bit in Scripture. It's amazing that we have 12 disciples, 12 apostles that were close followers of Jesus, but yet we don't really hear much about some of them. But Peter, James, and John seem to be ones that come up quite often. So I'd like for you to imagine that you were actually one of them. And you were on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, mending your nets. You worked hard all day fishing. You're there, you're cleaning your boats out, you're mending your nets, and Jesus walks up and says, "Hey, I want you to follow me. I want you to leave your occupation, I want you to leave your family, and I want you to follow me." And guess what? You did. You follow him. And it doesn't become, it's not very long until you realize that Jesus, this is a special guy. Because all of a sudden you start seeing him cast out demons out of people. You start seeing him healing people. I mean, there's people that can speak that have never spoken before. There are people that can walk that have been crippled their whole lives. There are people that are sick with various diseases, and Jesus heals all of them, and you are eyewitnesses to everything that Jesus is doing. And then there's a special occasion when you're at a wedding feast, and you're sitting there with Jesus, and the most horrific thing happens that could ever happen at a wedding feast, and that is they ran out of wine. And your good friend Jesus just happens to tell the servants, "Okay, I want you to fill those stone jars, fill them up with water all the way to the top," and he turns the water into wine. It's incredible. It blows your mind because you can't imagine everything that Jesus is doing. You remember an occasion when there's this huge crowd in the city there, and Jesus actually says it's getting late in the evening, and he wants you to feed them. And you say, "I can't do that. I don't even have enough money to go even buy that kind of food." And so there's this boy there that has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus blesses them and hands them to you and says, "All right, feed the crowd." And you're thinking, "Yeah, right. This is going to go for about 2 or 3 people, right?" And then you feed the crowd, and when you're finished, you collect 12 baskets of leftovers. You get into a boat to cross the Sea of Galilee, and on the way over there, a storm comes up, and you're terrified. And then all of a sudden, you see this ghost walking across the lake, and he comes up to your boat, and he says, "Don't be afraid." And guess what? It's Jesus. He steps in the boat, the storm is calm, and you're immediately on the other side. And then to top it all off, you thought you'd seen it all, and then he raises someone back to life. Incredible things that you witnessed Jesus do himself. And then one day he starts talking about, "Oh yeah, by the way, you know, I've been with you for about 3 years, but I'm going to leave you. I'm going to be gone. But don't worry, I'm going to send someone to take care of you." And you kind of talk that stuff in the back of your mind, but then it becomes a reality and it becomes real for you when you're praying with Jesus late one night and these people come and arrest him. And they take him away. They beat him. You run because you're afraid for your life. And then they crucify him on the cross. He's placed in a tomb. And you think, "Yeah, right. You're not going to leave us? What did you just do? You were crucified on a cross. You're placed in a tomb. You're gone." And on the third day, you're sitting in a room with the door locked, and Jesus just steps right in. He says, "Peace be with you." And then you say, "Oh, he didn't leave us. He's back." And then 40 days later, you're out in the desert area, and Jesus just starts floating up into the sky. He says, "I'm going to come back the way I'm leaving." And now you know he's gone for sure. Can you imagine what the disciples felt like? I mean, someone that they had followed for nearly 3 years, the closest of friends, they left everything they had to follow Jesus, and now he's gone. I can only imagine the aloneness, if that's a word, that they felt. You know, being just completely left by the one that they'd been following, the one that had taken care of them, the one that was the closest of friends that they could share anything with, is now gone. Have you ever felt alone? You ever felt? Thank goodness. Thank goodness there's one person that hasn't felt alone. But I'm going to imagine that all of us at some point have felt alone, even though, as I told the children, even though we may have hundreds of people around us, we feel alone. It might be a circumstance that we're going through. It might be the loss of someone. It might be an illness that we're dealing with. It might be a financial struggle. It might be a relationship issue. And while we're in the middle of that, no matter how many people we know that are praying for us, no matter how many people we know that are there for us, we feel completely alone. But you're not alone. You're not alone. And I'm going to say, for you seniors, I'm going to say that you could possibly feel a little bit like the disciples. Except you've been with your parents for 17 or 18 years. Is that about right? Okay. They've taken pretty good care of you. And you're going to be, at least, all of you are going to be going off to college. Now, I know that parents don't know a whole lot at this age, right? But I'm going to say that when you get off to college, they're going to get a little bit smarter. They're going to know a little bit more. And there's going to come a time when you're faced with something away from your parents that you think, "Oh no, I'm alone. My parents would take care of this. I could talk to my parents about this." Now, the good thing is we have what today? Cell phone, yeah. You can do all this and do this, and you can communicate with them, you can FaceTime them or whatever, and you can get some of that advice. But even with that, there may be times in the transition of things that you feel completely alone. It's going to be different. It's not going to be the normal routine that you're used to. There's going to be a lot of things that you are probably going to find out mom and dad did that you're having to do on your own now. But what I want us to understand is I told the children up here at the children's message is that we're not alone. And that is exactly what Jesus promises the disciples in the gospel reading for today, verses 15 to 17. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have the promise that Jesus is with us. And it's fascinating here, it's called the Helper or the Holy Spirit that is going to come upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And that is going to be the Helper that is going to be with them, that is going to be with you. And it calls it the Spirit of Truth. Now this is one thing, and it says the world doesn't perceive this. Because we live, unfortunately, in a world today that doesn't really recognize what truth is. In fact, truth for a lot of people is whatever you want it to be. There's not an absolute truth. There's not something that says this is right and this is wrong. It's only wrong if you think it's wrong. That's the world we live in today. And you're going to find some of this at college. You're going to find some of this in your professors, unfortunately. And so we have to understand and recognize that we have the Spirit of Truth living in us. I asked a couple of weeks ago, I asked the preschool chapel kids, they came over and I said, how many of you like to throw rocks? And they all sat there like this was some sort of trick question or I'm trying to trap them into something, right? Because they're trying to think, okay, where did I throw a rock? What did I hit? But I said, I like to throw rocks. And then all of them like to throw rocks all of a sudden. And I said, I like to throw rocks. I like to throw them, just go out and throw rocks. I like to skip rocks across water. It's fun, right? Then I said, is it okay to throw rocks at your brothers and sisters? And they said, no. I said, how did you know that? Of course, they're a little bit young to put things together and understand that. But I told them it was that inner conscience of yours telling you it's okay to throw rocks, but it's not okay to throw rocks at your brothers and sisters, or then they added other people too. And so, as we live in the world, there are certain things that are right, and there are certain things that are wrong. Do you know what it is in you that tells you that? It's this helper, the Holy Spirit. We call it the conscience a lot of times, but it's the Holy Spirit working in us saying, this is right and this is wrong. And unfortunately, we live in a world where the Holy Spirit is not in a lot of people, and so therefore their right and wrong doesn't match up with what God's right and wrong deals with. But you're going to have that when you go off to college. You're going to have to make some decisions. And sometimes you're going to make the right one, and sometimes you're going to make the wrong one. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And so we have the presence of Christ living in us, and he is not going to leave us alone.
Another thing is, you have a lot of people that love you and that want the best for you. You have your parents. Believe it or not, they want the best for you. You have the church family. You have your pastor right here that wants the best for you. You have a lot of people. And so when you are struggling, when you meet that challenge that you don't know where to turn, when it feels like you're alone, you have a lot of people to reach out to. I will say that is one of the greatest, I guess, gifts or the greatest thing that I appreciate about my kids. They have been far from perfect, let me tell you. But they have not been afraid to come to me or their mother with their challenges, with their struggles. And I certainly appreciate that in them. And I'm telling you, go to your parents. They'll only hit you once, maybe, right? They won't kill you. And it may be hard, but it is something that about a parent and child relationship that strengthens that relationship when you can rely on them, because I'm telling you, they are there for you. They love you. The church is here for you. I'm here for you. You have a lot of friends that are there for you. Use them. Reach out to them. Bounce things off of them, because they certainly do love you. If you think all that will fail, guess what? You still have one more person you can turn to. Now, you need to turn to him first as well. But you have Jesus to turn to, because he promises that he's with you. In fact, if you think you've done something that no one can forgive, he can, and he does. Because he didn't come into this world for no reason at all. He came in this world to suffer and die for each one of you. And he did it, we're told in Romans, when we were at our worst. When we were the worst sinners that we could possibly ever imagine being. Christ died for us, to forgive us and to promise us eternal life. And when Jesus left this earth, he left the disciples with the Holy Spirit. He left the disciples with the promise that you're not alone. I'm here for you. And that's what I want you to understand today. That as you go off to college, it's exciting. It's exciting to see what all of you are going to do. But remember that you're not alone. Even when you feel like you're alone, you have to know in your mind that Jesus promises you're not alone. Can you remember that and hold to that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would be with all of us here today. Lord, I know that we all deal with certain circumstances in our life where it seems like we have been left alone to deal with them alone. But Lord, we have so many people looking out for us, and especially you. We have you to turn to, and I pray that we can form that relationship with you, that you would strengthen us, and Lord, that you give us what we need each day to make it through those days. We ask that you would just continue to bless us in everything that we do, and Lord, help us to know in our minds. We can't always go on what we feel, but help us to know in our minds that we are not alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.